we are heading to the third layer of hell, otherwise known as the Phoenix suburbs, where it's been 117 degrees every single day. Novak, can you believe it's that hot?
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And
in August, it should be their monsoon season, as I discovered many years ago.
Well, and August is right around the corner. Rob Bolton, PGAtour.com, Golf Bet, my great friend. Are you alive?
Phoenix, Arizona, where your al fresco is your al crispo right now. Guys, Glass, obviously great to hear your voice. Dave, pleasure to make your acquaintance. We're staying inside.
Yeah.
We'll see you in September.
Nice to meet you too, Rob. Good. And yes, absolutely. Don't go out in this.
Now, Rob, remind our listeners where you were. Your post high school education took place.
Oh well, I gave a good 5 years to Northern Illinois University and another 10 paying off my loan.
You endured 5 years in DeKalb, huh? You're a better man for it.
If you say so.
Well, Dave knows. Dave's father was a head football coach at Northern Illinois.
No kidding. Joe Novak, man who changed the program forever. I was long gone by the time he settled in. Such enormous respect for that guy, for doing what he's done, and so much of what exists now on that campus, especially with the sporting facilities and everything that's made available now to the student athletes that are rising up and wanting to target DeKalb to take it to the next level. Owe so much to that man. I'm such a fan, having never met him, although I covered the team when I was back there doing my sports broadcasting and writing with Charlie Sadler at the time in the early 90s. Wow, that's very cool. That's a cool connection. Thanks for sharing that. I did not know that.
I bring people together, Bolton. That's what I do.
3-30, Rob. That's the part I remember almost the most was the first 3 years. 3-30. So it took a little while getting it all together. But you're right. There were some great times. And I still have a picture of the scoreboard in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, with NIU 19, Alabama 16. And I will never let go of that picture.
Hey, it's not how you start. It's how you finish.
That's right. What are you building?
He ran through that tape there. That's very cool.
And the year we went to Tennessee, Knoxville.
Yep.
You and I and our other buddy, Big Dan. Big Dan's a big Tennessee guy. Northern Illinois is playing there. And 13-9 in front of 68,000 very disappointed, half-full Neyland Stadium.
Yeah,
Gave him a big run.
If Northern doesn't beat him, they give him a scare. They do things the hard way.
I know I'm here to talk about the Open Championship, but Joe Novak, the impact he had on the school and the mentality, he tore down walls that existed with believing that what the team was doing was possible, and it filtered through the alumni. He had such an impact. I can't speak highly enough of it. Not enough hours in the day, you know, I'm thrilled to have made your acquaintance today, Dave.
Thank you. And you too, Rob. And thanks for the nice things that you're saying. You know, it's they had to take some things seriously up there, and he got them to take some things seriously up there and got some people
re-involved. At the right time, too.
And to be fair about this, too, he had the right athletic director who let him go 3-30, knowing they were on the right track. Because you don't always get that, and especially nowadays.
No
doubt. If you do that in 3 years around here, you're out on your ear pretty quickly.
True. Very true.
And Joe Novak has been on this program multiple times. Yeah. So we've got a very small Hall of Fame, but Bolton, you're in it, and the NIU wing is growing on a major championship basis. Usually Novak's not here. He's usually on vacation, but no, we've got him in the studio tonight, which is great. We always do Mondays and Wednesdays, and we always try to squeeze Rob Bolton and his busy schedule in the eve before major championship golf, and this week is no different. I tell you what, buddy, back in June before the LA Country Club, which I didn't love, but we talked about that on Monday for our other listeners. None of us had Wyndham Clark on our radar. He kind of came in, hit the ball great, stole the show, beat McIlroy down the stretch, and away you go. Well, that's why we show up every week. And this week, we know that Royal Liverpool has not had a lot of just like a little bit of Los Angeles Country Club. Not a ton of history, but the history we do know from this golf course in this century has involved winners named Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. So right there tells me maybe we won't have a semi-Cinderella story this time around. But I want your thoughts as well.
So first of all, Wyndham Clark was number 20 in my power rankings for the PGA Championship and didn't play well. So I dismissed him at the U.S. Open. Naturally, he played the other way, which was a very cool story at the right time. And to see him finish it off, two-time winner already, you know, and a major champion, kind of what we all expected from him when he left Oregon with all of that talent. And then in a similar vein, as I mentioned earlier about Joe Novak up at DeKalb, he believed and he went out and finally tore down the walls for himself and generated that great story. And naturally, again, this week, he's not in any of my contests. So, but that's what the Open Championship does, right? We talk about the vagaries of the match play. There's so many of those same sort of things that are baked into the analysis for the Open Championship. It's a great week not to play fantasy or not to start betting on golf because you're just not going to feel very good about things. And even if you connect, you're probably going to be more lucky than good just because of the weather and because of the oddity of the track, the links that these guys that we know best don't play very often. Yes, the narrative for the tournament has been the biggest of the household names have prevailed. And there's two out of two. Okay. I mean, you can't say there hasn't been, but we're in a different world than we were even 9 years ago, and the level of the talent at the highest level. We saw Wyndham Clark win the U.S. Open, and not to say that he's not in that tier now, but he wasn't in it a month ago. And it's very possible, because of those vagaries, that a guy is going to be in the right side of the draw, depending on how the wind's going to blow, coming out of it with a claret jug. We've seen enough, especially in this tournament over the years. We've also seen a guy of a certain age, so we can't rule out the guys who are 40 and older, who have the experience and the patience and some of that understanding. So let the younger guys make the mistakes and plot ahead and see what happens come the weekend.
Rob Bolton is our guest this afternoon at Rob Bolton Golf on the Twitterverse, the best of the best, writing about all of the golf insides and outs. You can find his work at PGAtour.com, all his links on Twitter. And Golf Betting, he's been my buddy for a while. He comes on and helps us out with major tournament golf. Let's talk about the course first. We'll start there and work our way back. Royal Liverpool, Hoylake is the town it's in. You'll hear that being the reference to that multiple times if you haven't already. But this is a rough and tumble track. I learned this week it was the first ever Open Championship to feature 72 holes. It was put together in 1869, 1871, made it 18 holes. So it's been there. It's a weathered piece of land. But it is not on the Firth of Forth, and I'll let you explain why that matters. But, again, not a lot of elevation change, not on top the dunes, not below the dunes. It's just kind of its own quirky kind of track.
Yeah, it's not St. Andrews. It's still pretty hard by the sea. It's visually not striking, but it's I tell you what, pal, and it's like this if you happen to be like a recreational softball player or like I am a big jazz fan, musically a fan of the music of jazz, and having played it through college, at Northern, whatever ridiculously good program, and proud to have been part of that in my little way. You tend to enjoy it more when you're in the middle of it and not necessarily watching it or trying to understand what you're seeing. We think of some of the great Major League Baseball fields, and some of them that we tend to forget or we're not sure what they are. They look, back in the day with the cookie cutters. Royal Liverpool visually comes across as a cookie cutter links layout. Wouldn't be able to, if you helicoptered in, wouldn't be able to know where you are type of place. There's just nothing there. And however, but if you start to play it, you realize, okay, it's going to nibble at your ankles pretty good. You got to stay out of the bunkers. You got to avoid the bunkers. And then at that point, once you're in one, because it's going to happen, that's why Tiger Woods was famous with only hitting one driver, when he won. Avoid the danger. It's about managing the misses. It's about eliminating the totality of the negative. And that's just not how we think of sports. We think about giving it 100% and seeing who emerges at the end. This is very different. It's like a chess game on the golf course that really has nothing recognizable about it. Go have fun, guys.
Well, and the other thing,
I know what it is.
Yeah, well, the other interesting thing we've seen in years of different, I hate the term rota. In the rota, sometimes we see these wonderfully large greens, like at St. Andrews, or larger landing areas because of the wind on the Firth, the Forth, when we're talking about Scottish courses. But Hoylake appears to be fairways that are two strips wide and greens that aren't much bigger than your local munis. This presents a different challenge.
Yeah, you got to be precise. That's what it is. It's really a ball striker's track. But it's about course management. You see a lot of shot shaping. When I think of shot shaping, I think more of Harbortown, where you're not hitting drivers off most tees and you still have to bend it around trees. You know, those protuberances that come out of the ground and force you to hit around them. So because if you hit a golf ball into them, there's going to be trouble. There isn't that this week. So you have wide open air, but you have to understand how to play the wind, and that's where all that experience comes into play. You know, Colin Morikawa was a first-time winner of the Open Championship just 2 years ago. It would shock me if anybody who has never played here or never played an Open is contending on a Sunday. I think Denny McCarthy is the shortest of the top debutants for a prop this week, and he's never won a PGA Tour event. So there's that. We're expecting experience. And look, again, this is about just trusting your flight off the tee and flight with the irons. And again, there's not a lot of you can quantify that, but you have to have the confidence upon arrival. You're not going to go find your game at a place like this. You're going to lean on what works best upon arrival. That's what we're expecting this week, and that's why the leaderboard will be populated. Even though the field is deep and we know a lot of these guys, it's going to be populated on Sunday with all of those guys because those are the guys that do it the best. This is why a winner that we know. This is why a guy who we know comes out winning.
Rob Bolton checks in, PGAtour.com, at Rob Bolton. You can find him on the Twitterverse and a golf bet as well.
Well, and Rob, you mentioned names we know, but looking at the people who have won here at Royal Liverpool, Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, Roberto DiVincenzo, Peter Thomson, go back a little further, Bobby Jones, Walter Hagen, some of the best of the best of their times, if not the best of all times. You know, it seems like this course brings out that top level, not just people we know, but top three, top five, top eight type level people. So, and I'm looking at the last two scores, Tiger Woods minus 18 in 2006, Rory McIlroy minus 17 in 2014. It's supposed to be wet and cool over there, not cold, but cool over there. So it sounds like this is going to be a track that has some scoring opportunities, and you're obviously trying to look, or you think you're going to be looking at one of the best in the world on the top of the leaderboard at the end of the week.
That Champions Board is quite a flex, isn't it, as
yeah.
The kids say. Yes, so it's now a par 71, so we're going to shed four off Rory's aggregate or a score in relation to par in terms of maybe a reasonable target this week. So you have the softness. The greens are going to be somewhat slow. That makes them bigger on approach. Brings some of the shorter hitters into play because they'll be able to land those longer irons and softly at that. So that squeezes the field, which is cool. We like that from a fan standpoint, and certainly those guys that are shorter love that. I just think every year it's those intangibles in this event because it's just so unlike all of the others that we preview on a weekly basis that are a little bit more predictable in terms of the data, in terms of the course history, in terms of the randomness of a shootout. This brings in so much more into play. And again, the point is made with respect to the fact that the guys that we know the best, they're playing the best, they tend to have all of that. They have a full arsenal of the experience of the shots. They have come in. They know how to prepare for a major. They have played in majors before. And so Royal Liverpool, despite the visual that we discussed earlier, the absence of it, will demand those things that we can't see, that we really don't understand by not feeling how the shot comes off the club face and with the wind we can't see or feel on TV. or however you happen to be watching the broadcast. So we have to put some of that faith and understanding that we don't visualize, and I see it more without that sense of sight, and I sense it more feel of the scorecard and how the guys are actually managing the golf course, where they're landing it. And there's almost too much to consume in advance for anybody who's even a massive fan of the sport, just because every hole itself could require so much time to understand where to miss. It's a little bit like Augusta National, where, like, that's why experience matters so much there. You can be in the fairway, but you may have a better angle from a different spot in the fairway. That's usually the case. But to actually try to miss a fairway just outside but be in a better location at the angle of the green, it's just that experience and that knowledge to understand. And all the course preparation and the course management and executing on that in real time will be what lifts these guys this week, guys.
And the other interesting part, you'll see the longest hole in Hope in Championship history, number 15, will stretch to 620. You'll see the third shortest hole in Open Championship history is the par 3 17th, which is brand new for this edition, is just 136 yards. I'm more interested in the draw, Rob. We don't talk about it a lot heading into the Masters or what time you're teeing off, where there's not, you know, perhaps not enough guys. The Open, U.S. Open, the PGA, that's not a big deal. But the weather that I have seen, and I don't know if I haven't looked today past noon, it sounds like we're going to have two different golf tournaments. We're going to have just fine to make the cut, and then once we've made the cut, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty even. The closers on Friday seem to have maybe a bit of a shot, and we've seen that in this tournament where, not exclusively, but where the wind at the end of the day, the sun starts to set, the energy starts to subside, and it becomes a little bit more of a scorer's track. The rain, the influence of the rain Friday night into Saturday increases. The wind is going to die a little bit, and then it's going to pick up pretty good on Sunday. So we get a little bit of everything. I think most of all, though, if you're going out early, late, obviously you get to post a score without anybody on the board already Thursday morning, and then rest, and then watch half the field go, give it a go, and then you get the best of the wind on the second half of the round of second round. Then that's where your preparation will have paid off, because now you're ready to go out there and really step on some throats. And I was just thinking, like, it really is a masterclass in how to be a professional golfer. You don't get to play the same field every week, and you have to go play others who are also giving it the same effort and sometimes more, and they have more talented. But sometimes it's just what's in between the ears that makes the difference this week, and part of that, of course, is planning ahead for these conditions.
And it's tough to practice in them. Nobody likes to. You have to just kind of get through them. Rory McIlroy moved from Northern Ireland to Florida.
I wanted to ask you about that. You talked the other on Monday about how Rory says he doesn't like weather. How much do you guys, when you're doing, you know, fantasy golf, do you look at, you know, Rory McIlroy is among the best, is one of the best in the world. He's won here. Do we worry about him in weather really at the Open Championship? I mean, is that something you guys actually take into significant consideration this week?
Rob Bolton doesn't. He's number one in the power rankings.
Dave, it's funny how much it does factor. At the same time, you know, when Rory has talked about he doesn't like it and then he goes out and shoots 65.
Right.
I mean, you have one thing in mind to say to Rory after that, and it's not something I can share on the air with the family audience, and that's fine, and that's very cool because that's sports, and that's one of the reasons we get involved in it. So we take it with a grain of salt. There are certain guys who are the mutters who still will not play well in it. I think it's more of a mentality. Yeah, that's what made Tom Watson great. That's why I was always a lover of Tom Watson. And he says, look, I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to let everybody else make the mistakes, and I'm going to go ahead and do my thing. The only thing I control is me, and we'll see what happens at the end. And just the mentality and how often he won this particular tournament speaks to that intangible that I was talking about earlier. Like, how do you quantify that other than to back up the rhetoric with the execution? Yes, it plays into what we learn about these golfers, but then we are responsible for sharing that in a way that makes sense without leaning out entirely, because it still is just one variable.
And the precedent McIlroy is set. He has done this before in 2014. He won the World Golf Bridgestone Invitational the week before the PGA at Valhalla, so he's gone in that back-to-back. Not many guys can say that. Like Wimbledon, one versus two, it doesn't come down to that in golf, but Scottie Scheffler is in the second spot. He's done everything but win for 4 months. And again, he already has a handful of wins. It just hasn't happened in the last 2 or 3 months. These two stick out like sore thumbs this week.
Scottie Scheffler, he's seven podium finishes or something this season, or like, I don't even remember the numbers anymore. I can't count that high. I've stopped trying. And he's second in the power rankings, and it's like, man, what did he do wrong?
He didn't win.
He didn't win. Come on, Scottie.
You bum.
He can't play defense. I mean, that's the thing about this sport. The only thing that play defense is Mother Nature.
You know, and he's not – I go back and forth with this with a few fans. He's not the kind of guy I want over an eight-footer to win. We've seen that too many times with him. It's not a knock. It's just something he hasn't really perfected. He doesn't slam the door. He gets far enough ahead – and then he goes through the threshold, and then he can kind of just let it swing close. And that's how he prevails. And that's okay. I mean, he when he won the WM over here in Scottsdale, he was, it was like 27-foot putt. That's not something you expect. You give it, you send it out there and see what happens, and sure enough, it found the bottom of the cup. And that's a hell of a way to break through for your first victory. And he's still learning how to win, in a sense, because we haven't seen him go out there and do it. Maybe it happens this week, but certainly with the way he's playing, he's a guy. He's a target, obviously.
And wouldn't his lack of putting excellence, I suppose, doesn't that take a little bit of a backseat when you're talking about slow greens and the weather and the British isn't known for for U.S. Open style greens anyways? Doesn't that come back a little bit to the crowd?
It should. Now we're talking about, who's hitting the most greens of regulation and how close those greens of regulations are finding, especially in the conditions. So now we're talking more about that tee degree game. That Royal Liverpool rewards so much more than St. Andrews last year. I mean, we're talking about opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of the majority of the tests off the tee and into greens. Last year, Cameron Smith is best known as one of the best putters, if not the best putter on the planet. Well, when you have greens that are 20,000 square foot, it tends to be a putting contest. This week is going to be very different from that. And Smith, who's third in the power rankings, probably a little high, but I'm giving him a lot of respect for some of those intangibles of navigating the last year and still coming out smelling pretty good about everything. And he's the defending champion, by the way. So, Dave, now we're really getting into some of the nitty-gritty, which makes what we do so much fun, because it's always golfer-specific. Yes, we have some of these factors and variables that point us in certain directions, but then we get into it, and we say, well, what about this guy? What about that guy? So in a week like this, when the greens are slow, that should benefit a guy like Scottie Scheffler, who's the best on the planet from tee to green.
The English contingent, or the Nor-Irish and Irish UK and all the political affiliations I'll probably get wrong. Well, if it's going to rain and be windy on the weekends, we naturally move in that direction. Last week, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton had a struggle on the last couple of holes, which knocked them off of podium positions. Is that a clue that they are ready handling that the wind from the, well, taking the wind from the Scottish side, then going across the Irish Sea? Fleetwood's from up the street in Southport, about an hour away. Hatton is just, it seems like he's been playing great every week. You can get into the Shane Lowry 2019 Royal Portrush weekend. Well, they were all in the top 12 last week.
I'll say it like this. When these guys return, quote-unquote, home, and they start to play in these conditions, in these climbs, wearing another layer, I would imagine, and this is something with which I cannot relate personally, but I would imagine it probably feels a little bit like remembering how to drive on the other side of the road. It's like, I grew up playing in this. I know how this goes. Give me a minute. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to showcase that I do know how this goes. And The primer of last week is awesome. It never hurts. I was surprised some of the guys who played in the Scottish last year didn't play last week. So that's something like Morikawa, for example, who didn't play very well in either event last year, didn't play the Scottish last week. That's a different way to approach this week. So that's one of those variables that popped up as a potential of, well, maybe that's going to make a bigger difference than the absence of not playing would normally make. But with the guy specifically from the UK and the Isle of Man, if there's anybody in the field
from Jersey,
don't forget about them. And the, yeah, no, there's no one in the field for the record from the Isle of Man. Maybe one day.
Well, you talk about these guys and their schedules and getting back to familiar places. Morikawa not playing. We haven't seen John Rahm forever. Is he right. Still around? Does he still play golf?
Took an unprecedented 3-week leave since missing the cut at the Travelers, which was probably predictable given the way he's been, you know, rising up for the big events, and then Travelers was a designated event this year. You can understand, while he gives it 100%, you can understand maybe mentally he wasn't all the way there for that specific event right after the U.S. Open. So, again, there's another example of dialing into a golfer's schedule, into his history over time. You know, I remember after the Ryder Cup a couple years ago, I had a prop that he's going to miss the cut at the Fortinet. He's like +550 to 1, and he did.
Yep.
And you know, it was kind of predictable, but it happened exactly how we expected it to happen, or at least I expected it to happen. And you could have said the same thing about Rahm at the Travelers. I love the fact that he's taking a break. He's got a lot coming up. Got a lot coming up, and he needed a rest. And then he started to crank into the practice last week. So he's back into his routine, which serves us with a lot of faith and promise in all of our pursuits this week.
Hadn't had a ton of success in the Opens, on the links, but you know the talent is obviously there. Rob Bolton is the voice you hear, at Rob Bolton Golf on Twitter.
I did see John Rahm talking on Golf Channel during his interview, and this is the 35th anniversary of the last Seve Ballesteros Open victory, which, of course, he was
true.
Was
1988.
You know, loved the Open. And so in Spaniards' hearts, I know this is a big one for them. But
he checked all those boxes at the Masters already this year, so it shows you he doesn't bother him a little bit.
I mean, I wouldn't say he's weepy about it, but he did kind of talk with reverence about this being one of those anniversaries. And you know, I don't know if that fuels him or not, but if he's well-rested. You know, I haven't played fantasy golf. I played fantasy football back in the day. And to me, class and form, it was always class. You always go with class. And with John Rahm, I mean, he's certainly got the class. Whether he's got the form after a couple weeks off, we'll find out.
It's interesting. He's only he's the third choice. Yeah. He's right there behind McIlroy and Scheffler. The book's not going to get killed, are they?
Yeah, the 300 monster at the moment. It's a great point you make, Dave, because, yeah, it's like sometimes, and this we're all guilty of this. We just have to check ourselves. You know, it's like if you've disappeared, we've forgotten about you in this sport because you don't play every week. And there's 156 guys in every event for the last 3 months of the season. And when you don't play in three of them, wait a minute, what's wrong? You know, and especially when the expectations are so high. We're going to learn more about John Rahm this week. He's going to learn more about himself this week. And so ultimately, once you distill everything that we do and the conversations that we have with the people who are interested in what we do, what are you going to do with a John Rahm at the Open Championship? What are the factors, the forces in play? From a betting standpoint, you know, a top 10 feels aggressive. A top 20 feels like a slam dunk, sleep well at night type of finish. So how do you manage that with your units? Maybe fraction of a unit with a top 10, maybe multiply it with a top 20. And then we'll explain the reasons why. And then how do you build your card? And obviously that's a betting standpoint. From a fantasy standpoint, now we're talking about a format, others on your team, are you pacing, you're chasing, all the sorts of things that traditionally go into the thinking and how to come out ahead at the end of the week and then hopefully at the end of the season.
And Rob Bolton is answering all of our questions today. The 151st Open Championship will tee off at, 1:35 Eastern time with the member at Royal Liverpool, Matthew Jordan, hitting the first ball. Phil Mickelson was 34 when he won his first major championship. Is that accurate? Do I have that number right? Does that sound about right?
It was
2004 Masters. Like that, yeah. He was just about, he was about 2 months shy of his, he was 2 months shy of turning 34.
Oh, that's right, because he's 34. He's at the U.S. Open right around Father's Day and all of that. Well, Ricky Fowler's 34. He's finally got the win on the PGA Tour that everybody was wondering when that would happen. And he sits number five in your power rankings. Well, he's played awfully well in major championships over the years, and he's been playing awfully well recently until his 74 on Sunday in the wind at the Scottish Open.
So to Dave's narrative about like what we do with these guys, now Ricky Fowler's a guy who comes in gangbusters. He's not a guy we've used a lot in fantasy because we haven't been able to trust him in a while. But then you look at the entire season and you wonder, what are you waiting for? and then he doesn't have the major. The next major isn't for another 8 months. We think about the balance of his life outside the ropes because it's changed so much in recent years. He's really, really, all the buckets are full and balanced, and there isn't a better place outside the ropes that he'll ever be than right now. And then with the reunion with Butch Harmon and the tough love that Butch gives and how receptive, more importantly, that Ricky is to that messaging and to understand the value and obviously to see the results, suddenly you have to lean into Ricky Fowler across the board, especially in a one-and-done situation where maybe you haven't played him yet. And even though it's a major, all those vagaries I was talking about, suddenly they favor a guy who doesn't normally make sense at the Open Championship. I said this before a thousand times. I'll say it one more time. Ricky Fowler and many others talk about how much they love this style of golf. They love it even more when they're playing well, and he's playing well despite what happened on Sunday. It's one round. Tom Kim is another guy who's on the record for absolutely loving it, and he's been able to prove it. We're still learning a little bit more about Tom Kim. I'm not sure how much I'm going to trust him necessarily. I'll give him a few more reps because I play conservatively. I want to make sure that these guys understand what they're saying. I don't buy into so much of the rhetoric because you expect confidence from professional athletes. You got to read between the lines a little bit, whereas Ricky, you don't have to do that anymore. It's just right out there in front of us. So at number five in the power rankings, he's in my lineup. He should be considered for one-and-dones. I would lead into a top five in a betting situation. Parlays across the board go in heavy because he's going to reward you.
Well, and Ricky, for a while, there was like the star running back with the nagging hamstring injury. He couldn't, like you said, couldn't be trusted for a while, but looks like he's in a great spot right now. I want to ask you about a name because I haven't looked at your rankings yet, but Brooks Koepka earlier this year answered a lot of questions about him and maybe the alternative to the PGA Tour as well and what all this can look like. When you look at what Brooks is doing the first 2 days, and you know how he plays, and you know suddenly that he's playing with a guy like Patrick Cantlay, who has gotten some beef about how he plays oppositely to how Brooks likes to play.
Slow.
Do you drop somebody like Brooks a little bit in that regards, or is that, again, class, no, forget about it, he'll overcome whatever has to happen in that group?
You know, I'm very curious what Glass is going to say about this, but to answer the question first here, Dave, you know, this is it's going to be a little bit of the latter for me, but not for the obvious reasons. You know, there's so much that has to be generated from media coverage in between tournaments, and there's a lot of airtime, there's a lot of pages, there's a lot of internet to fill. So I tend to dismiss it. I'm a closet Brooks Koepka fan as an athlete. Like, this is how a guy we criticize the athletes who don't speak their mind. Koepka speaks his mind, and he's criticized for it. Well, that's what's going to happen when you're the alpha dog, and you talk like an alpha dog. And if you've been in enough locker rooms, I've been in enough locker rooms. I worked in baseball for a couple of years, seeing the guys come up right out of high school or out of college, and they think they absolutely own the world, and then you never hear from them again. Well, Koepka's doing that, and it's not like I'm a fan of it, but I'm a closet, like, yes, that's what I want in my investment, a guy who's gone out there and proved it, obviously recently with the PGA victory. This style of golf is going to challenge him, and then, of course, he'll explain it, didn't get the job done, whatever the case is, or he may get out there and win by four and say, see, you know, look, throw whatever you want at me, and I'm going to be fine with it. But now, Glass, I'm curious if you have a different take on that.
I was interested to see him complain at L.A. Country Club about things that he complained about people complaining about. Mm-hmm. In previous hard. I think the harder it is, the better it is for him. And when he sees 70-yard fairways on the finishing hole, he's like, what are we even doing?
Well, he's a guy who has said, you know, when I go into a tournament, it's down to 20 people.
Yeah,
and I don't care if it's 150 or not. I've written all of you off. It's just there's a few of you.
Well,
but
the thing is about that, he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No question.
And apparently here, especially.
Just no one says it, you know.
Yeah. The pairing, I think, will fuel him because he will take it as a slight. You're going to pair me with a guy that you know I can't stand, and I'm going to show you. So I'm with you, Bolton. I like the alpha dog style. And if you don't like it, you can count up all five of my major championships and go on with it. This is a hard course. He enjoys the hardest of the hard. And throw him out there.
I mean, he's going to be on the next tee box when Cantlay's putting
on. He will
one
not care. He will not care. And Cantlay was a bust last week as well. I can't trust him. He's the new guy with the bad hamstring, especially in major championship golf. You mentioned Morikawa. He won on his first trip. Gee whiz, how do you do that? Matt Fitzpatrick doesn't have anything inside a top 20 in his trips to all of that, even though he's from England. And boy, oh boy, Justin Thomas, every time I talk to you at a major championship, we're waiting.
Yeah, we are the cooler for JT. Obviously us. I caught some flack for basically fading him this week on the Twitter, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Show me why
I
should.
Take the blinders off.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want me to say? Plus 188 to miss the cut, and that's pretty short compared to the miss the cuts across the board. That's the fact that he's even on the board for that, you got to give – I'm talking about BetMGM for a moment. You got to give BetMGM credit for adding it. We'll see how it goes. They have to protect the house. They want to be in business tomorrow. So, look, JT is he came out and said it at the Masters. He's just not striking his irons like he wants. And if the confidence isn't there, what do you expect? He's had these couple of good finish top 15s here and there, but not on the most difficult tracks. And he's going to need to have that confidence this week. He made the cut in Scotland. Woohoo! It was an easier track, but just you're not going to find your game at a place like Royal Liverpool. And Dave, now here comes the danger. What we don't know is what always ends up killing us, and that's and I wrote about this briefly. I said we don't know if JT happened to maybe find something in Scotland. You got four rounds to give it a go ahead of the major. That's all a guy like that needs. We don't know unless he's asked about it specifically, so we have to tiptoe into it. But I'm conservative. I have to put myself out there in terms of the day
I'm
job.
Tiptoeing the other way.
Is he class or is he form?
Well, he's right now he's both, but the form's bad. The class doesn't go anywhere, but I heard this Rich Lerner and the boys today when I was leaving for it. JT's asking Ricky and Jordan, hey, when you guys got in your slumps, how'd you handle it? How'd you get through it? Well, that doesn't sound very confident heading into the fourth major. Right. How do I get through this darkest period? Gee whiz.
Couple pints in Scotland, maybe.
Yeah, not playing the weekend. That's how you get through that.
He's definitely formed, Dave. You got to pick one. You're right. It sounds like a simple question, but there's so much that bakes into which is it. But he's form.
And his form is really good. I mean, really, really good.
But he's such a thoughtful dude that a lot of what's happening in the world, I think, has to be affecting him in a way that we don't understand. But he's not asked about it. Rory's asked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But JT isn't. And I think it's affecting him in a way. We saw what happened with JT a year, you know, when Tiger had his crash and there's just a lot going on in JT's world that wasn't going on very well, and we saw how much it affected him negatively inside the room. He tried to hang on, and now we're seeing more of a manifestation of that in the last few months. He cited his irons. That has to be a part of it because the statistics bear that out, but I wouldn't be surprised if what some of these other things that are happening with respect to the global things in the game aren't affecting him because he is a human, of course.
Rob Bolton, wrapping us up, we have 1 minute left. Of course, everybody wants the Ben Curtis, the Todd Hamilton, the off the chart sleeper, the Constantino Rocca. Who do you have on your radar this week? If you got to shove someone in the back door, either for DFS or a long range ticket, who should we look at in the Open Championship?
Oh boy,
pick one. You got a handful of them. Go to the sleepers.
Yeah,
PGAtour.com.
Nope. The answer is nobody because Tiger, Rory, and then 2023 Royal, I can't say it very well, Royal Liverpool winner. Yeah, I mean, Victor Hovland, he's not out there, but he hasn't won a major. He has the exact game you need off the tee. He doesn't have to be hitting drivers to play very well. He won at a very difficult course at Muirfield Village just a few weeks ago, and his short game around the greens, talk about a guy who does speak confidently and has the numbers to back it up with an improved short game. He'd be the guy that I would say, you know, in the next time Royal Liverpool comes back to host, it makes sense that Hovland won and then added his name to Tiger and Rory.
Interesting. All right. Well, we appreciate your time as always. I know how busy you are this week. And again, at Rob Bolton on the Twitterverse, PGAtour.com, GolfBet, all the stuff is there for reading. We've had a busy week cranking out content. We hope you guys all have winning tickets next time. I don't want to wait 8 months till the next major. I'll squeak you back in for President's Cup, Ryder Cup, something. The beer can't open here locally. We'll have you do power rankings for that.
I'll see you at the Crazy Horse.
I like it.
We got to do it there.
That works for us. We will make that happen. Thanks, brother.
All right, pal. Always great connecting with you and Dave. A real treat again. Great making your acquaintance. So you guys take care. Enjoy the tournament.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate the nice words.